When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets, in the car while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel, the official sportsbook of the NBA and NHL. It's fun to combine multiple bets from the same game into a same game parlay. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with promo code JANJ, that's J-A-N-D-J, so they know I sent you. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in select states only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It's Monday, June 27th, and we missed you guys, sort of. We got a lot to talk about today, including we're going to do our own draft, which I'm very excited about. Should be a lot of great, top-notch nonsense. As always, Jenkins and Jones, hosted by my good friends, Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? It's been a while.
You haven't used that voice probably in a week and a half.
The voice is a little rusty. It's been a while.
Got to tune it up.
Got to tune up. Shake the dust off it.
Well, Jethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's that, Bubbas?
I'm Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike. And we took a week and a half off. We got some tweets. I understand people missed the show. The Jenkins and Jones used to take the whole summer off.
Oh, yeah. You'd be lucky you got, bro, like one pod from us from June to August, bro. We did not give a fuck.
We did it the right way.
Yeah. we did it like the European way of working and shit, right?
Right.
Yeah. And we on the holiday.
Yeah.
We talked about someone. We gave a fuck about it. I think I put in the description, Jethro Jenkins and Dragonfly Jones talking about shit they actually give a fuck about. And yes. And in the summer, we don't be giving a fuck about shit, but being summer ass niggas. You feel me?
So it was a different era as well, in everyone's lives. So the summer agenda did not used to be taking the baby to her first swimming lesson. Bro,
I told y'all I got emotional. Walk by. There's it's like a center, right? So like they have the preschool shit on the way there, and I saw the preschool sign, and I looked at Rob. I said, "Oh, one day we're gonna have to take her there." And I, like, started, like, feeling some weird shit inside of me, and I sped off. She's like, what's wrong with you? Why are you walking so fast? I'm emotional. And then we're about to turn into the swim thing. I'm like, holy shit, she's already having her first swim lesson. And then I got emotional again. This is a weird experience, guys. But yeah, she had her first lesson. She did really good. Cried about 35% of the time. She hasn't seen a lot of kids. Not bad.
Yeah, that's a great number.
Once she got comfortable, it was cool. It was cool.
That's league efficiency. Only crying 35% of the time on your first swim lesson.
That's Will. That's Will rookie year.
100%. All right. Before we get into the next step, let's talk about the NBA draft just happened. I just have a couple notes from the draft I want to throw out there. Number one, I'm glad Paolo went number one. I know that there was some like different feelings about the top three guys in this draft. He was always, to me, the obvious, clear-cut, most NBA. Yeah. I didn't understand it. And so it made me happy. It was a little bit wild they took him number one without having worked him out. But I felt like it was that clear that he's the number one guy to me. So I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. I think once I saw the news that they measured him 6'10 barefoot, I was like, oh, yeah, he's going number one. Lock it up. Yeah.
Nice suit, too. I think that's what really got him over the hump. They saw that purple. They said, that man has charisma. Not many can pull that off.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Little razzle-dazzle there on that young
little
man.
Little razzle-dazzle,
like
bubble.
The cut of that guy's jib.
Look at them diamonds.
You know what's funny is, like, you can sit here and go, like, oh, yeah, if his suit hadn't fit so well, they wouldn't have drafted him number one. But then you hear stories, like, 20 years later, and it really is shit like that. Like, I think I was just hearing about the Bears drafted a quarterback number one because the GM liked that he drove an old car.
Really? Dog, I forget the kid's name, but did you see how some kid was listed as like 23 on Google and he got that shit fixed like 21 and he jumped up on so many fucking draft boards? Did y'all hear about that?
No.
Wait, so they were Googling him?
Yo, and he was Googling himself. He's like, yo, I'm coming up 23 everywhere. And then he you know, got that shit fixed. He's really 21, and he said he like jumped up on boards. I gotta find the kid's name. I forget who.
What's tripping me out is that the people that were recruiting him were using Google to find out his age and shit, rather than talking to actual people to know how old he was.
Yeah, that's,
you know what I'm saying? Which is odd. You know, we use Google to look at these motherfuckers. If you're recruiting him, I'd hope you wouldn't just use Google. You know what I mean? To find out this nigga age.
But you'd be surprised, bro. You would be surprised. And it's funny.
Crazy.
It's funny. Listen, having covered, I think I could talk about this. Having covered like top draft picks or first round guys in baseball, football, and basketball in Long Beach, you can literally look on our Google Analytics during draft prep season, and you can see, like, I went and looked at it after Peyton Watson got drafted by the Nuggets. Oh, right about here, there's a whole lot of activity on our website from Denver. Because they literally are. They're just, I mean, part of the pre-draft process is, so there's someone who's reading everything, who's looking at every video, who's trying to see, oh, in the background of this video, when his teammate turned the ball over, is he cussing his teammate out? Like, they're combing through everything like that. They have big stats to do that. And it is funny. I have thought about that. Like, you know,
was this before he got drafted? You saw these numbers?
Well, I didn't go, you know, I don't go look at it. I didn't go look at it before, but it okay. I was thinking about it because we had the same thing when Juju got drafted by the Steelers. You go back and you look like, oh yeah, everyone in there was a little circle of people in Pittsburgh that were all over our Poly football coverage. So that's the new thing. High school reporters, we need to be the ones who unite and find the Google Analytics trends.
To know where Peyton is getting drafted, you know
right,
what I mean?
100%. I also want to talk about Chet. Can we just use the Slim Reaper for Chet since KD didn't want it? It's such a good nickname. I hate that
cool
no one has it.
No shots to that kid, but he's not cool enough for it.
Also, like, what has he done? You got to earn that.
Yeah, that's too cold of a nickname, bro. I think that's still KD's nickname. I don't give a fuck. I'm telling my kids that's a Slim Reaper. You feel me?
Here is my trivia question for you guys, and I expect this to stump you. Chet went number two, which means that the streak of let's do some white history, some Caucasian history.
Oh, wow, Jesus Christ.
The streak continues
in this climate?
of a white dude from America not being the number one pick. Who was the last white dude from America to be drafted number one overall, or what year was it?
Good question. It can't be Bill Walton. It can't be that far back, can it?
There's one more recent than Bill Walton.
Is it old boy from Duke? Was he not drafted with number one that year when he went to the Olympics?
Boy, Leitner was in Shaq's class. Hell no, 92. Hold up, man. I'm going to get this shit. I'm going to get this motherfucker.
It wasn't long after Bill Walton.
Okay. Is it going to be some motherfucker like Joe Barry Carroll or some shit? Or
It's a name I would not expect any NBA fan of our age to have ever heard of this name, because I had never heard of it until I went and hit the Googles for this. 1977.
Who's that motherfucker? Jack Sikma or whatever the fuck?
Kent Benson.
Never heard of
him. You ever heard of him?
With that butler ass name. Who the fuck is bro? Kent Benson?
They put a moratorium on it after that.
Yeah. That's a Kent fucked it up for everybody. That was enough.
Has there ever been another Kent in the league since him? They don't even draft Kents anymore.
We got Kent Bazemore.
Right.
Yeah, that's about it. But
that's about it, yeah.
But yes, Bill Walton was before him in 1974, and Doug Collins was actually the year before Bill Walton or whatever. Okay. Different era, which actually we will get to when we're talking about the different eras of the NBA. And I would just say that I think that does say something, with all due respect to Kent Benson. Let's talk about the – oh, go ahead, John.
No, I was just wondering, like, how – like, I didn't – it's we all wonder why Leitner was on the Dream Team, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, how the fuck did he make the Dream Team? I think you have to draft one college player at a time? Something weird like that was going on? Or they just wanted to...
They just wanted to fuck over Isaiah Thomas and have it hurt as badly
I understand
as
that part, but also, like, Shaq was there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it's...
Leitner was a great college basketball player, but like you said, was drafting him over Shaq. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you
can make a case like you know, besides like, you know, Kareem and Bill Walton, that Leitner, you know, he's right up there with like all time great college careers. You know what I'm saying? I think it was the quote unquote, you know, right pick, because, you know, Shaq was a sophomore. Leitner was a 4-year, you know, guy, you know, 2-time champ Naismith dude. So, you know, he had all the accolades, but he damn sure ain't have more talent than Shaq. Nobody.
Shaq came into the league averaging 25-12, I think, his rookie year.
Yeah.
He's a baller. Bro, Leitner was not that. You feel me? So,
well, I think there, you know, having read Jack McCollum's book on the Dream Team, they were very conscious of, like, this is being a representative for the sport. And there's just no doubt that a white dude who had a 4-year career at Duke
was
something they were trying to add into the mix. You know what
I
mean?
Was it two chips he won, too? So, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
but
I mean, I think that's the, it's not like people don't talk about the racial dynamics of the NBA, but it is like, it's just overt in everything in the league's office. That it's like, the, if they could get, we talked about that with Luka, the agenda is going to be thriving.
It's crazy.
At some point for Luka, you know? And so I don't think there's any question, like the McDonald's Happy Meal plastic cups that we all had from the fucking Dream Team, they wanted another fight on that shit.
Yeah.
With all due respect to Shaquille.
Give something for the Kents to look forward to, you know what I mean? Or to wish for.
Yeah, you're right, overtly. Let's talk about the New Jersey Nets, the Brooklyn Nets. Boy, this has been this has been the story of the offseason so far. Tyler, I think you're enjoying it more than most.
Oh, buddy, am I.
Where are the Nets right now, and what are your thoughts on the situation?
Gentlemen, do I have a take for you guys? But now, I have been thoroughly, thoroughly enjoying this. We don't have basketball, so we got the drama here, and I've been loving it. And it's looking like this shit is about to blow up, bro. And if this all blows up in Brooklyn, if Kyrie walks and if Kevin wants out, make no mistake about it, this shit is on the Nets. It's not on Kyrie. It is on the Nets. And y'all know I am the furthest thing from a Kyrie apologist, right? But this would not be on Kyrie. This shit will be on Josiah, and this shit will be on Sean Marks. And look, man, I get it. You know, Kyrie has proven to be extremely unreliable. You literally never know what you're going to get day to day with him. You know, looking Kyrie, you know, locking Kyrie in on, like, you know, a highly stipulated deal that incentivizes availability and dedication to the franchise, that's the physically responsible way for the Nets to go about this. You know, the Nets going about this deal in that manner makes all the sense in the world from a business standpoint. And it makes no sense from a people management standpoint. It is a terrible way for the Nets to approach this from a people management standpoint, because the Nets are making a mistake here that so many corporations, like not just NBA front offices, make. And that mistake is being so concerned with, you know, preventing or like mitigating financial loss that you sacrifice people management and sink employee morale in the process to do so. And then the fallout from that comes back to bite you in the ass even worse than what you were trying to prevent on the front end, because, you know, you shit it on your employees in an attempt to protect your bottom line. So then your employees decide to drop their nuts, you know, and let you know who's really making shit move around here. We see it all the time, and that's what we're seeing here. And the Nets should have known better, right? They should have known better, because the Nets knew damn well that Kyrie and KD were a package deal when they locked them in.
Mm-hmm.
We all knew that. Kyrie and all the shit that comes with him, that's the KD tax. That's the cost of having KD locked in on your team. And you knew that when you signed up for this. And on top of that, when those two agreed to sign in with to sign on with the Nets, that was the biggest moment in that franchise's history since they moved to Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest splash that franchise has made since moving to Brooklyn. There's a certain gratitude that should be paid to those two from the Nets forever for being the first to stamp them in the way that no other superstars did. The right way for the Nets to approach this is you pay those two every penny, and you retire them as Nets. You hang those jerseys in the Raptors, and you set the precedent that you're a franchise to take care that takes care of your guys. Because this shit is bigger than Kyrie. The reputation and the perception of your franchise is on the line here. And, you know, for a franchise who, like, you know, prides themselves on being anti-Knicks, whose whole brand is, you know, you want to live in New York City, but you want to play for a competent franchise, come to Brooklyn. If they lose Kyrie and KD, all that shit is dead, bro. Like, this will be an all-time fumble. You know, y'all fumble those two. Y'all are basically the Knicks with an in-house DJ who sprinkles a little more Biggie in his playlist. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, man, there's a lot of shit that I'm not on Kyrie's side about. You know what I'm saying? But I'm on his side here. There's a debt of gratitude that isn't being repaid by the Nets. The Nets are trying to get around paying the KD tax that they signed up for. The Nets are reneging on the handshake agreement, the gentleman's deal that they agreed upon, that, you know, those two are a package deal. They're prioritizing protecting, you know, their investments so much that they're shitting all over employee morale in the process, and it's looking like it's going to cost them big. So I understand fully why Kyrie wants out. He's probably gone. I think that bridge is already burned, and soon we'll see if KD follows suit. So the fallout from playing horrible with Kyrie and going back on all the shit you agreed to when you signed up for these two could very well be fumbling every motherfucking thing and opening the season with Ben Simmons as your franchise player. And the Nets will have no one to blame here but themselves, because, like I said, although the Nets approach this in a very physically responsible way, they approach this in a terrible way in regard to employee relations. And you have to know when it's time to prioritize employee morale over your bottom line. And this was absolutely one of those moments. But, you know, good for them. They put their foot down. They sure did show Kyrie. And, you know, I hope it was worth it, because it might have cost them everything. But we'll see how it plays out.
You should be hired. You might get hired from this.
Yeah.
Like, outside of basketball. Like, bro, you hey, put that this, HR this hat on like a motherfucker.
You know, this is my bad, bro.
You
this
put
is
a the human HR resource hat crisis on, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
This, hey, you might get some job offers from this. Yeah. Right?
Right. You're right.
But no, I mean, everything you said is a fact. You know, I mean, and this is we were talking, what, a few years ago, like, with them having Harden, like, how can anybody beat them? You know what I'm saying? Like, guaranteeing them a chip at least once out of the next 2 years, and we've seen what they've done with it. I mean, this is one of the biggest fumbles we've seen. You know what I'm saying? And also, like, we talked about, like, they don't need coaching. Like, when people were saying that shit, you know what I mean? And they got Steve Nash, and they just threw a coach, just threw somebody at him, like, here. You know what I mean? Bro, there's a bunch of things that they've done to fuck it up, and they're just continuing to do that, you know what I mean, with this situation. But, like you said, they knew Kyrie was a package deal with KD. You know what I mean? Kyrie hasn't been easy, but you get fucking Kevin Durant out of that. Maybe the best offensive player we've ever seen in our lifetime. And you're willing to let that go, you know, over, like, you know, some, I don't know. It seems like it's a dumb decision from my seat as just a regular motherfucker watching basketball. I can't imagine being in the seat making decisions and thinking that's a smart way to go about this. It's ridiculous.
The thing about going all in is that you go all in. You can't go all in and then hedge. You went all in. You went all in with those dudes, and it's exactly what Tyler said. Once you decide you're rolling with them, you're rolling with them. You can't half step to that shit because one of them turns out to be a little less committed to basketball than you want. Like, you're going all in, and teams do sometimes need to make fiscally irresponsible decisions for the sake of the future of their franchise.
Yep.
I've talked about this on the show before. The Lakers did that with Kobe Bryant at the end of his career.
Mm-hmm.
Does Bron, are the Lakers viewed as a different franchise if Kobe Bryant ends his career as a fucking Grizzly or something? I mean, yeah. Yes. You know, I do. Does Bron look at the Lakers differently approaching his free agency? Does AD look at the Lakers differently? I think that they do. I think that that matters. Yeah. And ultimately, as you said, I mean, the league is about those 10, 15 game changers at any given point and where they are. It starts and ends there. And we could talk about the job the Warriors have done putting people around Steph and Clay and Draymond, including obviously a, you know, all-timer and Kevin Durant. But it comes down to those top-level dudes. I mean, you're just not winning with, oh, their balance at the small forward position and their depth. You know, I mean, it's just, it has to start with the big, and then you fill in the stuff. And what's ironic to me about the Nets, which you didn't mention, is they did a great job of all the secondary shit. They put a great team around them. They put shooters, they put depth, they put experience, but they didn't put a coach who had experience, which has been a running joke here. You just can't, like, you can only turn up Kevin Durant's minutes so far because at some point there's only 48 of them in a game, right?
Right.
And so that's what's kind of shocking to me is they mismanaged the easy part. You did the hard part. You got the two premier dudes and you built a good team around them. And then you fucked it up after that. That from that point, you put in a good veteran coach and you stay committed to your stars and try and year by year build the best team around. Like, that's it. That's it. The whole thing. They shut the window on themselves.
What are they going to do with that money, though? You know what I'm saying? Like, what? Like, you have Kyrie. And I know he's been a this year he's been annoying. And Kyrie, just in general, is just annoying motherfucker. Just a weird, just an odd, kooky dude. You feel me? But he's still 27, 46% from the field, and 41 from fucking three-point line. He was 50-40-90 the year before that at 26 points. You know what I'm saying? Kyrie is not the issue. He didn't play that well in this series, right? And he got hurt the series before that. But what the fuck are you else going to get that? What are you else going to do with that money? Like you said, Mike, the easy fix is a coach. You need a fucking coach. You know what I'm saying? You have a God-tier defender coming in with Ben Simmons. You know what I'm saying? Like, that'll help with the defensive woes. You know, get some guys to do some dirty work. You feel me? And you got a fucking another chance to run at a chip. You know what I mean? It'll be difficult, obviously. It's not guaranteed like the years before, like we thought at least. But you, I mean, the fixes that they can do are really easy. And the stipulations that kept Kyrie from playing last year don't exist anymore. Kyrie can play basketball. There's those stipulations don't cause him to sit on the sideline. So I don't know why. What is the purpose of pushing this? It's not going to make the team better. You know what I'm saying? It's just ridiculous. It's a nut dragging contest, and the Nets can't win this. You know what I'm saying?
You're not Kyrie. You're not KD. Like, no one in the front office is one of those 10 or 15 guys in the league.
They aren't.
There's no contest.
Who they want to spend that money on? Who they going to spend that money on? Like, you know what I'm saying? That's just weird.
They sidestepped such a very simple fix to try to, you know, assert their authority here. What the Nets should have done is, yo, Kyrie's our guy. We're paying him every fucking penny. The end. Twitter calls you stupid for a day, but you still got fucking Kyrie and KD. You know what I'm saying? That's all that fucking matters. And they're about to fumble this
whoever,
shit.
And you might get whoever in, right? Because they're not going, well, what the fuck are they on? You know,
right.
You don't
right.
have every potential
right.
free agent
right.
for the next decade going, whoa.
You're in New York. People want to come there. Just be a decently, you know, like ran organization, and you can make it work. You can find somebody a third guy to come in there and figure it out. I mean, you already got three actually with Ben Simmons. You know what I'm saying? Just find some small pieces.
But to Tyler's point on the HR front, you have to understand as a front office that the players in the league feel differently about Kyrie than Twitter does.
Yeah, he is probably the fucking league favorite. You know what I'm saying? He's a Hooper's Hooper. They love that
dude. People love that dude. And what they're seeing is you going, oh, Kyrie's trying to make a decision that's, you know, right for his family or whatever. I disagree with that viewpoint, but you know that that's not like a minority opinion in the NBA. Right. Those are the people that you're trying to get to come to your team.
Every NBA player who I've interviewed talked about Kyrie being a top 75. It should be easy. Okay. And that's the guys like you said are trying to get to come to your team.
Right,
stay off Twitter. Don't listen to me, what I got to say about that nigga. Don't listen to us, bro.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Listen to the people you are trying to get to come work for you or work with you.
Like,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, what the fuck are the Nets gonna say if they try to pitch Wiggins? You know what I'm saying? Who went through the same shit that Kyrie did. They will have no shot at getting him probably.
Right. And Wiggins is a great, great player, but that he ain't gonna give you the bang for your buck you're gonna get with Kyrie. You know what I'm saying? Not yet. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? So it's crazy.
Prayers up if this continues to implode for the I'm sure underpaid Nets ticket sales office representatives who are going to have to call, who are going to have to field the call from the people who had the, I'm sure, six-figure courtside seats for the year to see Katie and Kevin, to see Katie and Kyrie, who are now going to the Ben Simmons show at, I'm sure, what will not be a discounted rate.
How much offense are you going to see on that team? Like, if he's the center of it.
This is going to look like 2004 Pistons out this motherfucker. But, dog, the Twitter detectives have been on it. Like, they have removed Kyrie from, like, all of their press releases and all their
tickets. I saw that.
And shit on
That's been
site,
over the so. Last few weeks, though. Yeah. Like, it's been, like, they've, yeah, it's been consistent. They've kind of leaned towards this, and I think it's kind of blown up over the last week, but steps have been made to get it here. It's just silly.
Praise up.
Petty. It's the pettiest shit, bro. You know what I'm saying? It's the pettiest, weirdest shit.
All right. Should we do our draft?
Are you ready?
Are you fucking ready?
Are we ready? It's draft time. We don't know shit about the college players because we don't watch college basketball because it's trash. So we're creating our own different draft. I know enough about college basketball to say fuck Mick Cronin. I know enough about that. When you got a top five player and he playing 12 minutes of fucking game, I know that shit, and I'll say it. You feel me? Because I don't know that nigga.
All I'll say is this. Okay, there's a dude named Derek Martin who is an NBA guy who came out of St. Anthony in Long Beach, played at UCLA. He tweeted at the UCLA AD after Peyton was drafted, and he just said, "We have a first round talent that couldn't get 15 minutes a game. Ooh, something's wrong here, Martin."
Real.
We call that motherfucker Martin too by his first name. Hell yeah. Okay.
I just say this, man. If an NBA GM, this is all I'll say on it because I'm not trying to get, you know, I'm not speaking for anyone but myself.
Just hey, text to me and I'll say it, bro.
If an NBA GM says we think that this 19-year-old kid has NBA all defense first team potential, and you have a reputation as being a defensive-minded coach, and you don't have a spot for that dude in the rotation? Damn, I don't know. Someone's reputation's fucked up.
I don't really like comparing players to gods, right? Because, like, dog, you know, compare these motherfuckers to Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. You know what I mean? Like, dog, that's what most of these players are
going
to try
like,
to be.
Right, but, like, it's people are talking about Chet and Giannis and shit.
Yeah,
100%.
For sure. And but KD compared him to himself. KD said that Peyton didn't KD say when he watched Peyton and said he reminds him of himself. You know what I mean?
KD pulled up to watch him.
Watch him play. Yes. And talked about how his game was similar to his own. You feel me?
6'9", 6'11" wingspan.
Bro,
loves
you feel me?
Defense.
Loves playing defense. For what we saw in high school, God tier offensive player, and you want to just have him sitting on the end of your bench 12 minutes a game? 3 points, you know what I'm saying? Like, bro, like, what the fuck? It's just, I just do not understand that, bro. These niggas need a nigga. I hate who said it, yeah. but it was right.
But goddamn,
the vessel wasn't the one to deliver that message, but the message came from God, okay? It just went through the devil, you know what I'm saying? Amen.
It is so funny to me how frequently I hear people quote Robert Sarver.
Bro, because he was, bro. It went past all the wild shit he's, hey, I remember the moment reading that shit, and I was like, I love it, and I just hate where it came from. But, hey, the truth is the truth, regardless of who the vessel is that gives it to us. You feel me?
All right. So, as John said, in light of doing, instead of grinding the tape, we had a conversation. An actual genuine conversation between the three of us in the group chat. This is not like a contrived pod thing, but we really were kind of tearing each other up over Steph being a top 10 dude or not and what that top 10 looked like. Mm-hmm. So what we wanted to do is a draft where we're each going to have three picks. It'll be a snake order. So 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3. Our producer Jackson is going to do the 10th pick. But I want to just get a couple points clear. We're going by, like, at their peak, how they'd play now, right? We're not going by, like, who has the best numbers on the paper or whatever. Yes. Am I right?
We're building a team, right? We're building a team. Like, it's going to be like a 3-on-3 team, right? So, like,
you know, I don't want to approach it like building a team because I feel like you're going to overlook who's the best player and, like, pick for your needs. You know what I mean?
I'd be looking for a big or whatever.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's what I thought we was doing because you said we're talking about a 3-on-3. Who would win in a 3-on-3?
I mean, we can see how it shakes out after that, but I don't want us to go into this thing, okay, I need a wing now. Okay, I need a big now. I want us to pick the best guy available. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Because the conversation conversation stemmed from, you know, is Steph top 10 now? And, you know, I said, if there's an all-time NBA draft, you cannot tell me that 10 guys are getting taken over Steph.
No, I think, because I mean, also because, like, it's he's the second best point guard of all time. So if you're trying to fill a spot, yes, if we're doing it like the NBA. But, I mean, bro, like, I told y'all, when I sent y'all that stat sheet, I said, bro, I'm like, this is a top 10 career, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, but I'm like, I just don't know who to take off on that list.
Mm-hmm. Well, because so that's, I mean, what we'll,
when you
yeah.
when you get to that point, it becomes gods. And so I want to say this too. Steph did enough to, I said Steph did enough to win. I think he did. I think everybody averages. I mean, when the last time we saw a motherfucker not average 30 to win a series? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I think like Bron had 29 and 12 or some shit. What's your boy name? Giannis had 35 and like fucking 16 or some shit. Kawhi had 29 and like, I think 8. You know what I mean? So great series. I just don't know, like, based upon what we said starting off, I don't know what he did in that series to make him jump these guys. And right. It's just really hard to jump these guys. You know, I think it's extremely debatable. And we said that.
Well, look, just, so the other guys, thing is, man. The way these conversations happen is more so by emotion. I mean, it's the same thing when they do the All-NBA or they do All-Stars. You always go, well, this dude's an All-Star. And go, well, who would you take off? And people can't really take anyone off. You're like, but I just feel like he's at an All-Star
caliber.
When
you look at that list, that feels like a top 10. Like, he should be obviously one of the best players, but that top 10 gets so crowded.
And but it's the same thing with Magic having a Mount Rushmore that have 5 people on it. I've got 14 dudes in my top 10, you know?
The top 15 is top 10.
The top 15, I got 15 top 10 caliber dudes. Bro. 12 of them I would put in the top 10, and 3 of them I wouldn't, even though I acknowledge the top 10 dudes. So, all right, Jackson, can you get up a random number generator or something to help us out with the draft order?
Yes, I did that while you guys were rambling. And the draft
okay? We're setting it up, bro.
We're being Diggs and Jones, bro. This is a ramble podcast, bro.
The draft order is number 1, Tyler. Yes. Number 2, John. Number 3,
I Mike. Thought we were picking numbers. You just
I thought
gonna...
we were picking numbers. How'd you do that?
I had a random dice rolling website. I assigned, since there's 6 numbers, I had 1 and 2 was Mike, 3 and 4 was Tyler, 5 and 6 was
what
John.
Was the roll?
It went.
Don't matter, Mike. You third. This motherfucker sore loser. I am too, though, so I get it.
He did the draft order in the darkness. That's all. I'm just pointing that out. I didn't see him pick the ping pong ball out of the fucking machine.
You want a recount?
Tyler, John, me, John, Tyler, Tyler, John, me.
Yeah. Is someone going to keep a tally of things?
Yeah,
here?
I'll write it down. Yep.
News guy on the fucking job.
So we're going to make the pick, and then we'll talk about it all in the end, right?
Yeah.
Are we gonna, well, and then I will probably discuss each pick depending on
who gets picked. For sure.
Yeah. Okay, so, I mean, I don't think there's any suspense here on who my number one pick is. Yeah. It's Bron. It's LeBron Raymond motherfucking James Sr. The biggest fucking, you know, I don't think anyone maximizes your team better in NBA history than LeBron. I think he's the greatest fucking basketball mind ever. You know, so that's a no-brainer for me. LeBron, for sure.
Michael Jordan, come on, dog.
Yeah, that too.
Do we have to even explain that shit? And a no-brainer. And the thing about with the LeBron thing, I've gone back and forth with, like, but LeBron's the best basketball player I've ever seen. And I saw Jordan at his peak. But I think Jordan, with his career and his accolades, I think he's the greatest. You know what I mean? So, one or two, it's all, you know, it depends on what you lean towards. It's all good.
I'm going to go with, in whatever order you want to put, it doesn't matter. I got 3 and 4. I'll go with Magic and Kareem.
Makes sense. I got them right there, too. I got them. That's 3 and 4 right there.
Okay.
Now it's back.
It's me. It's
John.
My turn.
Yeah, sorry. We snake.
Okay. Now is where it starts, because I feel like that, you know, the top 4, you kind of all know where we're going. So now I'm
top
curious.
Top 5,
from
I think. Top
yeah.
4, top 5. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I don't know. I think for me as well. I think Kareem was the. I think Kareem was the only big that I've said that I think I would choose over Wilt. I think Shaq is obviously more dominant, but Kareem averaged. I mean, Wilt averaged 30 and 20. Came into the league averaging 35 and 27. Just a god, you know what I mean? And I mean, best athlete maybe we've ever seen in the league. Just completely unstoppable, and he'd be unstoppable 400 years from now. You know what I mean? So, I think
the comment I would make about Wilt is, when you look at video of old basketball players, which we famously have done and not been super approving of. You don't
I think
always
the people
see
that made the cut are Wilt and Bill. That's everybody else. kick rocks. You feel
you
me?
You don't always see the way that it translates to the, like, Wilt Chamberlain, like John said, you can't picture a version of basketball that he would not be one of the most dominant.
Yeah.
Like, he would be in any era. What would be up there at the very top? Bro, so, yes.
Bro had a 50 and 25 season. He good anytime. Like, if we had a fucking D12 kid out there averaging 50 and 25, he'd go top five. You know what I mean? So, for sure. I think Wilt's good at any era.
What's interesting is the old heads now like to talk about how today's players would do in the 90s. I think it's a much more interesting conversation to talk about how older players would do now. And I think you can make the argument that Wilt would be more dominant in 2022 than he was at that time because of his size and the fact that there's no one really fucking with him physically.
He could pass. He could, you know what I'm saying? He could score. Yeah. He would be a phenomenal in today's game for sure.
He was MVP and Rookie of the Year for his first year, and he was a scoring champion for like 7 or 8 years straight. Like, my nigga, wasn't nobody fucking with him. We could talk about Bill Russell winning more. Right. But he used to get fucking cooked by Wilt. You know what I mean?
You put Wilt in the space and pace era of bigs with undersized bigs. I mean, who, like, put Wilt on any team in the NBA playing against the Warriors in the finals. Who is matching up with Wilt Chamberlain?
Zero.
On this year's NBA championship team. And he's got more space than he had at that time because there's a three-point line and people are playing out to that. And he's so much more physical than dudes are now because he plays that way. Like, I mean, he didn't have a Euro step at that time. That wasn't available to him. They weren't calling fouls on soft contact. Like, I mean, yeah, I think you can make the argument Wilt Chamberlain more dominant in 2022 than he was in the 60s.
Sure. Well, keeping it with the dominant thing, I'm going Shaq, bro. Like, I've told y'all before.
It makes sense. Yeah,
there's times I think three-peat Shaq is the best basketball player I've ever seen in my life. Like, 2000 to fucking 2002 Shaq, I think he might possibly be the best basketball player I've ever seen in my life. Man was averaging 37 and 16 and 3 blocks per game in the finals against the fucking defensive players of the year. Like, fucking Ben Wallace gets praised for holding him to 26 and 14 in the finals. He gave fucking Mutombo 40 and 20 that game one. And we overlook it because game one is AI's moment, right? And shouts to AI.
Right.
He deserved that shit. He went for fucking, what, I think 48 and hit the game winner. But yeah, Shaq, man. For sure.
You've got the most modern team, and it's interesting again because people talk about today's era like it's softer, but you've got the most modern team out of all of us. You tell me LeBron and Shaq come from the
I mean, there's somebody era. On television. There's somebody from television that'll tell you they couldn't have done it back then. Yeah. That's ridiculous. Yeah.
All right, your other pick, Tyler.
Oh, shit, yeah. Let me goddamn. Oh, shit. We're here already. I'm going with KD. I'm going with
KD. Man, I had KD coming in at...
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my game.
That's my game, bro.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. how doers get more done.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
10? Like, because I think Steph, KD, and Giannis are the three I think can make the top 10, like, by the end of their career, right? But I looked at, like, and the only reason I chose KD at 10 was because I looked at Steph in his career, and, like, bro, you look at the numbers, all-star selections, first team All-NBA, and, like, you know, Steph's best, you know, like, ability is his offense, right? KD's the best offensive player we've ever seen. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm like, how do I squeeze Steph in? His career is better based on the chips. But I think he has what? I think he has four. He's been in the finals three more times. So he's been in the finals seven times. And KD has more finals MVPs than him. You know what I'm saying? So it's like little things like that. You know what I mean? So plus averages. I think he averages more than Steph. Shoots close to Steph. You know what I mean? As far as percentages. I mean, from the three-point line, I think he shoots better from the field. So it's just, it's hard, bro. Go ahead. Is it my turn, though?
It's
mine?
Your turn. You got pick eight. Sheesh. You bet to fuck me up. God. This is not how I thought this was going to go. I didn't think KD was going to seven.
I thought KD was 10th. I thought KD, if KD snuck in, it was 10th. I think it was.
I thought I was going to sneak KD at nine.
I thought I was too, bro. I had him and Kobe right there at nine.
I can't really fuck with Tyler's team. LeBron, Shaq, and KD is fucking.
That's me. Crazy.
I mean, the only thing you could possibly do on that team is try and run Shaq, basically. Mm-hmm. But in a competitive environment where Shaq wants to win, you're fucked.
I think I'm going with Timmy. I'm going with Tim Duncan.
Boo!
I know you a Tim hater, but we saw the stats, nigga. The numbers ain't lying, and it was in a very, you know what I'm saying, a difficult time to win, and he did it over. The longevity is almost unparalleled as far as not making the playoffs every year's career. Came into the fucking league going crazy. You know what I'm saying? Taking chips from gods. You feel me? It's hard to not say that Timmy is right there. So it's between Timmy and Larry for me, but I got Tim.
Yeah, bro was a 26-12 and three block per game MVP. Like,
come
ridiculous.
On, dog.
Ridiculous.
I mean, what we arguing about here?
I'm annoyed as fuck.
Michael be a hater forever.
Really put me
I admire
you. You gotta check the first white man on the list. You gotta take it a Celtic? Bro, you're gonna have. Okay, go ahead.
Y'all put me in a situation where we're eight picks deep and no one picked Bill Russell.
I'm gonna be honest with y'all. Us talking about Bill, like, I feel like his career allows him to be in that conversation. I mean, at 15-22, nothing to scoff at, my nigga. You know what I'm saying? And he was winning at all levels. I think he won chips every year from college throughout his entire NBA career, except for 2 years. That's a god, bro. You feel me? But yeah, I just don't think, like, when we get in here, I think when we talking about who would we pick as a player, his career is much better than anybody else's. And it's, I don't know if Steph's that much better of a player to balance out the career, but if we're talking about hoopers, Steph's a better hooper.
Yeah, he's, you know what I mean?
I mean, Bill has the greatest career. He's the most accomplished player in NBA history. But I'll give y'all a spoiler. He didn't make my big board. If we're just talking about just straight up talent, picking guys at their
top
peak,
10,
yeah, top 10,
did not mine either. He's and I was arguing about him last time.
He's on my
time.
List
yeah.
of three that I, top 10 guys that I would not put in my personal top 10. Can you guess the other two?
One's Timmy D.
Bird. I feel like the Celtics hate is going to keep Bird off.
Timmy D and Bird.
Well,
so
Larry Timmy, Bird has two strikes against him on my
board. Being white and a Celtic. it's Timmy and Bird, right?
That makes sense.
Let me say this about Timmy before I make my last pick, which I don't feel great about, but which I'm going to make. Here's the thing. You're talking about basketball. You're talking about not crunching numbers, not fucking who can make the most tiles or whatever. You're talking about an art form that's physically acted out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about, as John said, so many hundreds of thousands, millions of people have played the sport. You're trying to cram the top 10 into the top 10. There's easily 20 people you could put in the top 10. So someone could make an argument for Hakeem, and I'd be like, absolutely.
Facts. 100%, facts.
Right? There's people that aren't going to be in here. You can make a – I mean, Kobe Bryant. There's so many people you can make. Has anyone who is not a Spurs fan ever been inspired by Tim Duncan? But seriously, has anyone ever been moved – by Tim Duncan that was not a San Antonio Spurs? Has anyone pretended to be?
But that's where you got to reach to keep him off the top 10. Shit that ain't got shit to do with basketball.
Facts.
It ain't got nothing to
do
with
basketball
at the
same time. It has nothing to do with basketball, but it has everything to do
with
it at the same time.
Everything to do with the art that is basketball.
Dr. J is not a dude who most people our age would put in a list of whatever, right?
Yeah.
But the coolest basketball coach I've ever known, a dude named Sharif Matoyer, was a coach at Poly before Shell. Okay. This is an OG dude in Long Beach. Used to walk around practice when the team was fucking up, roll like shaking dice in his hands. We'd roll the dice, and that was how many suicides the team had to run.
God damn.
You know what
that's
I mean?
So fire.
Just an East Side.
Is he still alive? Yes. Is he still alive?
Hey. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I want to shake that man.
He's not
man,
even that
dog.
Old. He's not even that old, but Dr.
That's,
J.
That's the shit Sarver was talking about right there, bro. But yeah.
These niggas need that nigga. Not a nigga. That nigga, bro. You feel me?
Hey, Sharif's nickname is Doc because of Julius Erving. And this is a dude who did not, I mean, like, this is a dude, this guy's not 80 years old. He's a youngish guy. He's not that much older than us. But, like,
yeah.
That was what Julius Erving was inspiring in people across the country. Mm-hmm. I don't see that for Tim Duncan. And to me, if you're talking about 10, that matters enormously to me. Cultural impact, how much people care about you, whatever. Jim Duncan is
against,
a fucking
Dr.
spreadsheet,
J,
bro.
Like, Dr. J might be the second coolest hooper ever behind like AI, though.
Facts.
Like
this,
I think Dr. J may be the coolest. I think AI is the coolest to us because
yeah,
of our age group.
Sure.
You know what I'm
right.
saying?
Right. But
stat,
that's why
you know
I'm explaining
I mean?
To you why in my list of 12
Walt
dudes
Frazier
in the top
up there
10,
too, though.
Dr. J
Frazier
is
up there too.
Yeah.
You see him now with the motherfucking boop on the island on the front of his shit.
My pick at 9 is Oscar Robertson. And I think I make the same argument for him that I would make for Wilt, that I actually think he's arguably more dominant today than he was back then. A guy at that size, he had outside scoring ability for that era. And so I've got Magic, Kareem, Oscar Dime Robinson. Dropper. You've got John's got MJ, Wilt, and Tim Duncan, and Tyler's got LeBron, Shaq, and KD.
And we got Jackson coming in with the number 10 pick. Who you got?
He's gonna fucking pick Bill
gonna,
Russell.
He's not gonna pick Bird.
Nah, I just want to say I was not expecting to have to leave off Steph Curry from my top 10.
That Larry Bird and Bill Russell would be available.
Was not expecting that Larry Bird was gonna be here, and I'm just gonna. I think that we're talking about best players, talent at their peaks type of thing. I think at their peaks, Larry Bird was just as good, if not better, than Magic Johnson. Best statistical year, just if
Larry's a god.
Magic Johnson averaged 24 points a game, 12.2 assists. Amazing. 52% from the field, 20% from three, also 6 rebounds. They're almost identical in size. They have almost identical accolades except for rings. Larry Bird's best season here averaged 29.9, 6 assists, 9 rebounds, and shooting 53%, 41%, 92%.
Just different.
In the 80s. Just in the 80s. So if that guy had like modern numbers and modern trainers to like become the best shooter in the league now, that's probably like as good if not better than Steph in terms of shooting. I just think that he's in terms of peak, Larry, and team building, like guy who could big pass, shoot, like whatever, rebound, whatever you want him to do, it's Larry Bird.
Go ahead. I was gonna say, I think Larry Bird's better than Steph too. I don't think Steph is a pass bird.
Me too.
And that's what I was talking about last week. It's like, it's not that Steph doesn't deserve to be in the top 10. He's done everything to deserve to be in the top 10. And he's only going to do more. You know what I mean? Steph, like I said before, Steph has the best old man game you've ever seen. He's not Dame, like where he shoots from those distances and then takes hits when he goes to the lane. He uses his floater a lot. He's not on the floor getting beat up hellas. You know what I'm saying? Like, Steph can do this for another 4 or 5 years. You feel what I'm saying? Like, and I would not be surprised. You know what I mean? But it's just like, gee, who are we talking about though? And it's not to say, do nothing, talk shit about Steph. Bro, I love watching Steph. I've seen just as much Steph as anybody else, motherfucker. I'm going to turn that motherfucker on when that demon playing basketball. I don't give a goddamn, you know what I'm saying, what the hell going on in my life. Saw me here, sit next to me. We watching basketball right now, baby girl. You feel what I'm saying? But no, you feel me? But it's just like the guy who, it's like bringing everybody up and like who are the people on that list. And it is thick. And there's not a lot of room to have gaps. You know what I mean? And if you're gonna be the best offensive player, if people like KD, who Tyler picked early, which I was surprised, you know what I mean? Like, dude, you had a dude on your team, same circumstances. I think Steph was the most important player on that team. I think KD was the best player on that team, and he proved it with his play in the biggest moments. And that's why I say, that's talking shit about, you know, KD was on your team. No, I don't do it that way. I'm talking about in the top 10 list, we got to talk about it because this is who he's arguing. This is who we're arguing, you know what I'm saying, to take away for off the list to put him on there. And that's my point, G. You know, I don't think that's how he doesn't deserve to be on there. He deserves to. It's just very fucking difficult because they're the best to ever do it in a game that's been around for as long as it's been around. It's hard.
Yeah.
So it's not a shit. I'm not shitting on Steph in any way.
Well, the other thing that I would point out, we could redo the draft with a different order or whatever. We come out with different stuff every time based on like building teams out and all that other shit too. Like, I think, I made my case about Tim Duncan or whatever. You obviously, as you said, the stuff he did on the court is it's impregnable, you know, but
you found a way to hate. And I thought it was unhateable. You found a way. You found a way.
Well, look, I mean,
who is he inspired?
We saw the video during the finals of the monk in Tibet pulling up from a Steph spot, right? Like, this is a dude who forever changed the way basketball is played. So to me, I think there's room. I mean, I do think there's room with him. I understand by the numbers. I certainly understand it. But I do think it could be one of those things that's funny 30, 40 years, whatever, when our kids are watching basketball. If it keeps going in the direction it's going, if the pendulum doesn't swing back and they don't legislate away some of the advantages of the three-pointer, this might be like leaving Jesus Christ off the list.
That's exactly what I was going to say. If you're someone who prioritizes impact, Steph is probably number one for you. When we go back and look at basketball history, there's going to be a definitive before Steph and after Steph. BC,
no doubt.
AD. You know what I'm saying? Like, he changed the game that much.
And the biggest thing that I've seen from Steph to do, like the most amazing thing, is when I went to watch my little brother play basketball, he was in fourth grade, one pair of LeBrons, which my brother was wearing, you feel me? Maybe two or three other pairs of KDs, everything else was Steph's. Mm. So while we're clowning them fucking shoes online, kids is wearing them motherfuckers. You feel
them
me?
Shuffleboard ass, startable cruise ass shoes.
Hey. They wearing the hell out of them motherfucking tread safes. You feel me? So, yeah, G. His impact is undeniable on the game and the generation after us. So.
Yeah. We have a saying at the 562, which is the kids are never wrong. They might not always be right, but they're going to be here when we're not, which means that they're not wrong.
Right. You feel me? It be like that.
I don't care how ugly we think the shoes are. At some point, there'll be a solid era when we are not here and they are
here. And good for them, though, because fuck listening to us, dog. I don't want a kid coming to me for fashion advice. Nigga, I'm old, bro. You feel me? Go wear them colorful, cool-ass pants and shit, G. You know what I'm saying? Don't be like me, dog. You know what I'm saying? You make a decision for me. The chicks don't like that shit that I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? In your age group, do your thing, G.
My five top 10 players who did not make it into their top 10.
Steph, not in no order. Steph, yeah. Hakeem, Kobe, Dr. J, and Bill Russell.
All my guys made it except Steph.
Yeah. I think Kobe is right there. Like, he could be ninth. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think
I could have picked
right
Kobe
there.
And done an all Laker team. I just didn't want people saying, oh, he's being all Laker dude or whatever.
Plus, it was going that route. I think
I also think the big O fits with Magic and Kareem. I mean, you're going to see a beautiful type of basketball that I don't think has been on the court. Yeah, I mean, that thing's going to be moving. And
dime
we're going up
dropping.
Shaq. That's all I got is ball movement.
crazy. But I mean, that's the thing, bro. When we talk, if you being talked about in these, I think I said it last week too. He doesn't need to be top 10 like on a list for him to. He's stamped. He was stamped before that fucking series. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, if you're being discussed in these conversations, G, fuck everybody. Fuck the number you're at. You know what I mean? Like, dog, you a god. That's point blank, period.
For sure. So, Mike, you want to run off the top 10, then we go into our personal ones?
Yeah, so our top 10 was LeBron, MJ, which is that's a Jenkins and Jones hallmark. All three of us were going to take LeBron number one, correct?
Yeah, I would.
I didn't know you were a LeBron GOAT type of dude. I thought you thought MJ.
I'm not going to fuck up the show's aesthetic by having us out here with MJ number one.
Bro, do your thing, G. This is shit. You know what I'm saying?
LeBron, MJ, Magic, Kareem, Wilt, Shaq, KD, Tim Duncan, Oscar Robinson, Larry Bird.
Wow. You got Larry pretty low, G.
By trios, Tyler has LeBron, Shaq, KD. John has MJ, Wilt, Timmy. I've got Magic, Kareem, Oscar Robinson. Robertson, excuse me.
I think Bron, KD, and Shaq mopping everybody.
I'm not.
For sure. I know.
You put in KD at seven. Prioritize your team being the best team over the order that it would have made sense to put people in the top 10. And I respect that enormously.
I thought I was going to have the KD late and was like, I'm going to get KD to like shoot. We can run the point a little bit. You feel me? So it would be a good team as well. But I mean, at the point I had to pick Timmy's.
I thought I was going to have Magic, Kareem, KD.
Larry might have been a good pick as far as a fit for a team. But, you know, Tim is just a better player to me. But yeah, man, like my top 10, I mean, LeBron, Michael, interchangeable. You know what I'm saying? It's just like I said, you know, it's greatest versus best to me. And I think either one of them deserves number one. Kareem, Magic, Shaq, Wilt, Tim, Larry, Kobe, KD. I think Kobe squeezes in at 9.
That's solid. My top 10, I got Bron, MJ, Shaq, Magic, Kareem, Wilt, KD, Timmy, Bird, Steph. I went back and forth a bit with Kimmy and with KD and Timmy. You know, I for sure think that Timmy's higher all time on the, you know, flat out all time list than KD. But there's part of me that's like KD at his peak. You know what I mean? Like that motherfucker was Thanos, bro. That motherfucker was a reckoning. You know what I mean? So yeah. So I gave him the nod over Timmy, even though I don't give him the nod over Timmy all time. I gave him that in the draft. And like I said, Shaq is not one of my top three all time players, you know, of all time. But he's for sure number three on my big board. Like I said, because fucking, you know, three-peat Shaq might be the greatest basketball player I've ever seen. He was a fucking monster.
So who'd you leave off to put Steph in?
I mean, you could put, who would be my 11th? It might be Kobe. Yeah. Kobe might have got bumped here.
Okay.
I mean, it's probably between like Kobe and Akeem. So,
Akeem up there, G.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
Dream was a motherfucker.
It was a bad motherfucker. He used to give Shaq fits. I know Shaq was young, but he had that motherfucker doing circles. 25 and 10, 12 on his tippy toes. You know, I look like a ballerina, that motherfucker.
All right, before we get out of here, we did want to do a little interview with Jackson because he did have the. An interesting time with the NBA championship, and this is our first episode. We did record right after the finals, but he was prioritizing other things over us. He was doing interviews with people who just won an NBA championship because he thought that was more important.
Nerd. It's funny, he had the best and worst seat. You know what I'm saying? Like as a you know, a motherfucker that is like, you know, obviously Jackson, you got here, you heading to the fucking you. The stars, you know what I'm saying? You heading there. You feel me? Like, what you're doing at your age is just fucking amazing to me. Right. I can't believe that shit, bro. I was a year away from getting turned, like getting my car getting decline or for fucking ground chuck. You know what I mean? And you're out here going crazy. So, like, dog, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's incredible.
I love
but
that story.
As a Celtics fan, you know, but also, like, you being in the locker room, that had to be crazy.
Hey, y'all remember when Birdman tweeted that shit about how he lost $500,000 betting on the Heat when he posted the pickup of him partying with the Mavs? That was Jackson, bro. Jackson was 2011 Birdman partying with Draymond and shit. Tell us the story, man. Give us the deets, bro.
Okay. So I'm going to try to tell the story in as full a way as possible without including any details that would get anyone in trouble.
Oh, give us one detail.
No, don't do that.
I'm not going to tell you. I mean, I'm just going to tell you the story. You're not going to know what I left out.
Okay.
So first, it was a bit of a chaotic getting into game six because the plan was Dre really wanted to do a if/when the Warriors won the championship, a from the locker room post championship podcast. That was the plan. So whenever the Warriors got to three wins, which was after game five, I knew that meant I was going to be going to all the subsequent games on the chance that the Warriors closed it out. Mm-hmm. Fly to Boston for game six. Dre is a very, 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 very busy guy. He's trying to focus on winning an NBA championship. So I'm not no harm because it all worked out so well. But I didn't get a ticket or access to the game. It felt like it for a hot second. But I didn't get a way to into the game until 7:30 p.m. Boston time for a 9 p.m. start on game.
I know you fucking nuts was in your stomach.
I was just like, hey, man. I mean, I was stressed, but I was also like, look, man, there's nothing I can do.
Yeah,
like, I'm just doing my best, right? So get the ticket. Thanks to Draymond. Draymond also connects me with a team security guard to help facilitate me getting my like backpack with like my laptop and a camera and like all the equipment that I needed into the game. So that's a bit of a chaotic pregame right up until tip off. Basically, this is all happening. Shout out to Antoine, the security guard, for getting me in with my bag. Game is the game. Everything's fine. Antoine, the security guard.
Well, you're a huge Celtics fan, so I do. It is.
Okay, so the game is not quite the game. Here's what I'll say. The Celtics lost. And the part of what I'm about to say can be attributed to the fact that it was a game six versus a game one. I was also at game one. TD Garden was much louder than Chase Center. Much louder. Damn. Celtics lost. But when it was loud, it was freaking loud in there. But then anyway, so the Warriors win, and I've been instructed to stay in my seat, me and my coworker, Fabian, to stay in my seat because Antoine, the security guard, will come retrieve us at some point after the game to bring us to the proper place to do the podcast.
You were luggage.
Bro,
the game ends. The trophy celebration's happening. They're all busy. I'm like, great. We can just hang out here, just watch the trophy presentation, all the stuff. Eventually, once the trophy stuff ends and all the players go in the locker room, I'm like, now I'm kind of getting a little bit antsy. So I'm like, okay, we got to get. I don't know what's gonna happen next. But I'm like, whatever. We can just hang out here for as long as we want. Wrong. The TD Garden staff was like, all right, guys, like, time to go. Trophy stuff's over. Like, everyone get out here. And we're like, okay, but like, we're with Draymond Green for this podcast. They were like, you got a pass? We're like, no. Because all I had was like a ticket. And like my bag that had was a lot. Like they were like, you have a specific pass? And I was like, no. And they're like, then get the hell out.
God damn.
And we're like, no, like you don't get it. And the security guards who are just doing their job.
And who do like, not probably give a fuck about NBA media.
They don't care. They're just they're just building staff. Right. They're not like Celtics people. Right. They're just building staff. And they're like, and I'm like, the guy goes, literally, I swear to God, he goes, we've heard enough bullshit today. You gotta go.
Sounds very Boston.
I'm like, I'm sure people are constantly lying to you to try to get into cooler places in the arena. So I understand.
But weren't you in the locker room though? How the fuck did you get
in? No, I'm in my seat at this point.
Okay, wow.
Still waiting. Okay, wow. And still waiting
He's
to hear
waiting
from
for
Antoine.
Antoine to retrieve him.
I'm waiting for Antoine to save
Antoine
us.
Antoine and that motherfucker pouring.
And so they're slowly just like pushing us out. We're trying to tell our story to any security guard who will listen to like try to someone to help us out. They're just pushing us out and pushing us out. We are at the exit, the last place before we're kicked out of the building. Finally, a security guard's like, okay, like, let me see what I can do. At this point, I've been like calling people. Who can I call to like save us basically? And basically after the people I've gotten in touch with, they're like, if you can get back to the court, we can probably help you. But we're not gonna go roaming through TD Garden to save you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. So I tell this, and this guardian angel TD Garden staff woman's like, what do you guys need? I'm like, can you get us to the court? And she's like, I'll do my best. She goes, stay with me, stay tight. You're not like I'm a child in Disney.
Like she was trying to get you out of
but like Mike is rushing through the airport with his kids. Like, everyone don't let go of my hand. I mean,
she knows how real this shit can get. If you get lost, you cook, bro. You feel me?
Right. So I'm like, okay. So we like follow this woman. We get to the top of the lower bowl. I'm like, can we go down to the court? And she's like, nah, this is as far as I can take you. You got to have someone come here. I'm like, we're so close, but like, fine. So I'm like calling people. Finally, someone comes up and is like, I'm taking them down. Someone was like, you can't bring them down. And he was like, but I got an E on this pass. So I can escort anyone I want.
Oh,
but, like,
wow.
Like, the security guard's like, all right, fine. Takes us down to the court. We get the proper wristbands that we need, or at least for one level of security. But we still don't have like a pass. And I still haven't been in touch with Antoine. So like, we're down there for a little while.
Antoine abandoned.
Where the fuck is Antoine?
He's coming. He's busy. He's like sort of, he's more or less Dre's like personal security guard on the Warriors. And I see Dre on the court and Dre's like, oh my God, Jax. He's like, I got to do a couple more things and then we're going to do the pod. I'm like, great. I'm just like staying like five feet away from
him. Let me stay within the halo of safety. I'm not yet. Exactly.
Security guards are still like, you guys got to go. Like, you can't be, I know you got a wristband, but you can't be on the court. Antoine, I'm like, can you someone? Antoine finally calls me. He's like, all right, I'm coming. I'm blah, blah. Antoine comes to the court, retrieves us, brings us to the media room, which has now been used. All the player media is over at this point. And then sort of like, he's like, set up in here. I'm going to get Dre and we'll do the pod in here. I'm like, this is perfect. We got the finals backdrop. Like, this is sick. Again, Dre is a busy guy. There's celebrating happening. An hour and a half goes by though.
You're just hanging out in the media room for an
we're
hour.
Just hanging out. Just hanging out.
Do they still have the fucking soft serve machine on at least?
No, not even that media room. Like where the players do their press.
Just conference. The presser room.
Just the presser room. And then finally I hear Antoine go, Jackson. I know it took me a while, but I told you I was going to get him. I got him. And like, then I see Dre like waltzing in his jersey and with Clay and Iguodala and Gary Payton. I'm like, oh my God, this is all happening. We've just been sitting here waiting for an hour and a half. And now it's like go time immediately as fast as possible. We record the pod. And then naturally, as a 26-year-old, my coworker, I don't know how old he is, but he's in his 20s. We're like, okay, we got to get into this after party. Because all we hear for this hour and a half,
Now let's get down to the real business.
Is people walking by this room talking about this party. That's all we hear for an hour and a half. So we do the pod. We record for what, however long we recorded. Half hour, 45 minutes. It's great. We're wrapping up. There's not that many people left in this room. And I'm just like, so Draymond, like, where are you guys going now? And he's like,
hold on. What are you wearing? Did you dress for the after party?
I was wearing cuff jeans. Sneakers and like a button down.
You dress for whatever just in case.
I was like, I gotta make sure that I look nice enough to be media at a finals game because I thought I was gonna get a credential.
Yeah.
At first. Okay. But also I can't wear team colors and I gotta just like find this midpoint, right? So I'm like, where are you going? He's like, oh, we're going to this party. Like, you guys want to come? You should come. We're like, we do want to come. And so then we like pack up all of our stuff and I'm like, try not to get lost. And Dre hasn't even showered. We have to go in the locker room and shower. So this is the first time I get in the locker room. We walk in the locker room. It's a carpeted situation. Yeah. The carpet, it's like a marsh soaked in champagne. It is like squishy when you walk. I'm like, this is wild. There's so much empty bottles of champagne in there. It's crazy. And then after a while, Dre like gets whatever showers. We walk in through the TD Garden to this like bar restaurant venue that's connected to TD Garden. And all of a sudden we're just in the Warriors after party.
God damn.
We were just in it.
It's worth the L, dog.
It's crazy.
It's worth the L, dog. Crazy.
And then we're there for an hour, and I'm like, I still gotta go back to my hotel and edit this podcast. So after like an hour and a half, I'm like, all right, I gotta go. And like I said bye to this, I don't know how long the party went on for, but I had to leave. This is probably because like so much time after the game.
You're the only 26-year-old in America who would have left that party after most an hour.
Responsible. I know. My bosses love me, baby.
Hey, you should have.
So this
I think
like
Colin would have understood if you would have called him directly. Like, look, bro. And so I'm partying with the Warriors.
Is the rest of the story is not even like Warriors related, really. But like, I go back to the hotel, edit the podcast until like 7:30 in the morning. Get 1 hour of sleep. Wake up. Got to pack. Get breakfast because the reason I'm in a rush because I happen to be the same weekend. Going directly from Boston, I have to fly to Las Vegas for a friend's bachelor party, which is what I did for the next 36 hours. After.
You can only so do that at 26. You can only do that at 26.
I was a zombie bro. Afterwards.
Bro. My stomach just right hurts.
Right, right, right. A day later. it would have been over for you.
Yeah. So that's my story. That's my story. Wow. Didn't wasn't in there for the champagne shower, but I saw it all happen and I got into it.
Sometimes you gotta lose the win, G. Sometimes you gotta lose the win. Took that Celtics L, so you got a best night of your life potentially. You know what I mean?
I don't got a lot of complaints. Right, we were almost kicked out of the arena and it almost didn't go. It almost was a disaster. But it ended up working out perfectly. So I have no complaints and only things.
let me say to you, doing media guerrilla style like that is so much more rewarding than having a credential or like whatever else. I covered an Olympics like that with no credential. All we had was contacts with the teams and with individual Olympians. And those are the best. That's so much better than the press conference. What did you take? I know you took something as a souvenir. What did you take?
I didn't take anything other than the green shirt. That was the Celtics shirt that was on everyone's seat because like they wanted everyone to wear green. I took that. That's all I
too
took.
Responsible. Way too responsible.
I'd have taken an way.
I took a selfie with the trophy at the party. I will say that.
Okay.
You didn't take a champagne bottle?
Mm-mm.
You a real one for not dropping no tea, bro. You a real one for that too, bro.
I'm not a souvenirs guy. I'm not like a take pictures with celebrities guy. But when we were in the party, we're like, it'd be pretty cool to get a picture with the trophy.
That's tight. All right. You're not the only producer of this podcast who's had a big couple weeks. Biko has brought baby Araya into the world. We're super happy. The most fertile podcast in America continues its reign of terror. I believe this is our third podcast, baby, in the 15 months we've been with the volume.
Congrats, right? Biko. Congrats. Congrats.
Congrats. You're going to be a great mama.
For sure. Yeah, yeah. For sure.
So excited. Hope you did not listen to this podcast, but hopefully someone tells you that we shouted out baby Araya. Welcome, baby Araya. Congrats, Biko and fam. And thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We'll be back in the middle of the week. We'll be back on our two episodes a week schedule. And we'll talk to y'all soon.
Less basketball.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody. And everybody. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.